I will say as we begin that Sharon and I, and we may have our friend Jana join us as well. I said to Sharon, I said, let me start by saying, I'm so glad you're all here, and I hope that we're going to facilitate a conversation about meeting challenges, what's challenging for your meetings, and also what's going well. And, you know, we may not have an answer for that. I may not have an answer. Sharon may not have an answer, but you might have an answer. You might have an answer. So I think the thinking is together, right, we're going to be able to leave here hopefully with a better idea of like, oh, right, that's what we could do, or, oh, that worked for them, or, you know, oh, I'm so glad to hear they were having the same problems, right? So that said, I had a really difficult time. I'm on the program committee for this convention. I had a very difficult time finding folks to speak on this. And I think that says something, right? And I want to say a little bit about Sharon. Thank you. Sharon was in my first meeting I ever went to. Sharon is goes to my home meeting, and we have gone through the pandemic together. And our meeting, which was a very, very strong in-person meeting, like all of us who have meetings that we went to before the pandemic, I needed it. We needed our meeting to keep going, and it was really challenging. So today, I'm thinking, you know, we may have questions about digital stuff. Great. We may have questions about in-person meetings. Great. I think a lot of it came down to tolerating discomfort, being persistent with solutions that I speak for myself, I didn't really like, and pivoting in ways that I wasn't comfortable with, and giving it some time. So that's what I guess I will say. Would you like to speak more to that before we...
Hey, everybody. I'm Sharon. I'm a compulsive eater, bulimic, and food addict. And I've been in OA 30 years in November. Yeah, I kept coming back. And, wait, just went out of my head. I'm going to be 72 in November. I'm an old dog, and it's hard for me to learn new tricks. And I am one of the four hybrid tech people at our Monday meeting. God has a sense of humor. And honestly, if I can do it, anyone can do it. I can't find my way. I had a whatever, you don't need to know it. I'm challenged. But my meetings are really important to me. And I'd like to know, as we get started, I'd like to know more who's in the audience. I think it would be helpful. I don't know. I don't want to take a lot of time doing it, but, like, are you doing, what do you think of that? Like,
my thought is that we might, just for the sake of time, so we can maybe get as, you know, sort of as much out of this time as we have, is just perhaps start asking folks, what are your challenges? I'd love to start with what are your solutions, but I feel like maybe there might be more challenges in this moment. If you've got a solution to a challenge that you hear, we'd love to hear it. I think we're sort of thinking of maybe open sourcing as we start, but do we want to start with, like, where are you from and what challenge would you want to talk about? And we're going to spend a few minutes seeing if we can't help you with that.
But to give you a perspective, I think it'd be helpful. Like, I'll just say that for the Monday Finney Ridge meeting, which was a big in-person meeting, we now have a Zoom presence, and we also have an in-person presence, and we are a hybrid. Each meeting we're hybrid. So that's where we've landed up, and we're not all comfortable with it. but a lot of our members move to other areas, and we want to stay in touch, and it's important. So maybe you, why don't you talk about Tuesday
sure.
and Saturday? Yeah.
Okay, so I'll say a couple of things about, this is in Seattle. We're both Seattle folks. So we have a Tuesday meeting and a Saturday meeting. Our Tuesday evening meeting went online. Our Saturday morning meeting went online. We are now, we went to it once a month for both of those meetings in person. While having a parallel meeting that night. Does a parallel meeting mean anything to anyone? Okay, perfect. Oh, great. A parallel meeting for us, the way we're using that term, is that as opposed to hybrid, right, we are having a meeting in person, and that same meeting is also online. So they're running concurrently at 7 p.m. on Tuesday night. So we have people that want to come in person. If I can't go in person, I might go to the 7 p.m. online meeting. So there are two options. Saturday, same thing. We went to Zoom. Then we went to trying once a month in person. We found that worked well. And we decided then that we would also like to be in person without a screen. So we now have a parallel Saturday meeting, which is in person and online. So those are the way that those meetings have worked.
And Jana was able to join us.
Yes. This is Jana. We're just talking a little bit about meetings and as sort of. We talked about Monday meeting, Tuesday, Saturday, and I see that Jocelyn has a question. Jocelyn.
We were talking about Saturday. I was just going to share on top of that for our Saturday parallel meetings, what's working really well since we have those. Rather than getting a speaker for our in-person, we're actually dialing into the virtual meeting, and we're listening to the speaker online, and then we drop off and just have our in-person meeting so we don't have to get our own speaker. And that's working really well. So,
beautiful.
Yeah,
please and thank you, right? Certainly, if there's anybody in this room that goes to those meetings and finds that they want to share something. But I think also, we'd love to really know what's happening at meetings. If you could say your name and where you're from, your region or your intergroup, that would be so great. And what can we talk about? Strong meetings, getting people to meetings, retaining people. I mean, what are the issues that are coming up for us? I saw you raise your hand, and then we'll go there.
Hi, my name's Kathy. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I help with a hybrid meeting. So we have a small contingency. We've always been a small meeting before the pandemic. We're still a small meeting in person. We're in Monroe, Washington, which is kind of out there, so it's not convenient for lots of people. But then we also have a hybrid, so bring a laptop. We've been really fortunate that AA people bought a big TV and speakers, and so then, and it is a speaker meeting, so I'm in charge right now of getting the speakers for our meetings. I would say my biggest challenge recently have been we've been having some Zoom bombers and having to deal with that.
There's a lot of head shaking with that one. Does anybody want to talk? Can we talk a minute about Zoom bombers? Would that be helpful for anyone?
Yes. Yeah, at the microphone.
Oh, okay. Okay. Would either of you like to take that question?
I was willing to help have a discussion about this, so I hope you didn't come expecting answers or technical people. We've had more problems with Zoom bombers, and so we've tried to get our Zoom hosts more trained up so that they feel more confident and able to deal with the bombers. There is a little procedure that you can find on seattleoa.org, and it tells you exactly what to do for a Zoom bomber, just staying confident and calm. You can suspend all activities, and then you slowly bring the meeting back. Okay, so there are some resources that could help with that, and I think that's what I'll say.
I could say something about that. I will say that sort of to zoom out a little bit, we have zoom out. We do have someone that does that the Zoom host service, like that we have a person who does that. It is a service position. It can be challenging, but it is important to have somebody that's willing to do that for, you know, 2 to 4 to 6 months. You know, it doesn't matter. But having that one person that shows up, or multiple people, you have several, but having one person show up, know exactly how to set up the room for a waiting room, right? We have a waiting room for all of our meetings. Because that allows us to then let people into that room. And again, Sharon mentioned this, we have a great document that can help you do that. And there's also right now on Google, you could just Google like how to set up waiting room in Zoom. Or you could just come and ask me, and I'm not super technical, but I can tell you how to do it. But that's sort of the framework, is we get to ask people how to do these things. So when you set up a waiting room, it does allow you then to moderate who comes in. We did start on Monday because a couple of things that have been happening is that someone will come in and they'll have like their first name and last initial that sort of looks like our folks, our people, right? And then they come in and it's not our people. They're other sick individuals, unfortunately. You know, another sick person like me. So we do a little thing now where you can send a message to the waiting room. What meeting are you looking for? And either they'll drop off or they'll be like, you know, OA Monday morning. Oh, great, if you don't recognize the person's name. So you can ask the waiting room questions, and then they can respond or not. Sometimes I think there are people that try to get in that are really people looking for, that don't, because they don't see those messages, and those things can happen, but we're doing our very best, right, to keep our meetings safe. And there are just great small trainings to be done on protecting your meetings, and they're pretty simple solutions.
And this is Jana. I am the Zoom host multiple times. And even doing all that, you know, doesn't mean, and people can give me an answer that sounds sensible, and they can have their name look sensible, and I can let them in, and then it turns out that they're not, you know, what I was hoping they were. So, you know, you can't absolutely guard. So far, at least the meetings I've been in, it's been an annoyance rather than something worse. And that's, I'm really grateful for that. And you can also put people back into the waiting room and then just let them sit there. And there are times, and that is something that has been very helpful. So that's one of the things where having a waiting room really is a benefit. And sometimes people will stay there for the whole meeting. I figure they probably left their computer and whatever, but, you know, and other times they're there for a little while and then they disappear.
Okay. I'm just going to say one more thing, and then we are going to move on to other questions, but we'll hang out and you can ask other questions at the end. But the other thing, that I go to another meeting, a Sunday meeting, that is only Zoom only, and it's small. It's hard to find someone willing to host. Sometimes we just go week to week because that's what we can do. But the other thing that really helps is to have co-hosts. So we have the host, and then we have a co-host that also is trained on Zoom but knows it. Like, I feel less confident, so my buddy is co-hosting, and when we get a Zoom bomber, she took it. And I got some experience in seeing what she did. So you don't have to do it alone. You can do it together.
That's great, yeah. Kelly, did you have a question?
Yeah, you can ask a report to Zoom. Yeah, you can file that report as well.
report to Zoom. I've never done that. Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, that's great. Yeah, you can report to Zoom, is what Kelly said. And where do you do that, Kelly?
Well, when you see the Zoom number, I want to move, and then there's a mark that says I want to.
Okay.
Sometimes that person is not behaving, but let the person come back more than unmarked.
Okay, so that might be something that you that we do a little research on. But when you do remove someone on the room, it will apparently populate something that you can report that you've removed them. Okay, great. Okay, so I think we could spend a lot of time talking about Zoom bombers, and I don't want to not give us that time. Does it feel like we need to talk about this a little more? Okay, great. I appreciate that. I just wanted to, if some people had questions, I know this is something we've all been doing for a while, but I just wanted to make sure that if there were some pressing that you need to feel heard about whatever, that we talk about that. Okay, so let's move. And so can we sort of keep an eye on who's next? So we'll go you. We'll go you. Yeah, we'll go Barbara. We'll go back. We'll go over here. Okay.
Okay. I'm Kathleen.
Can somebody move up here?
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Please, thank you very much.
I'm Kathy, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm from Olympia. And my concerns about our meetings, so they're not just mine, of course, but I'll speak for myself, are that we had meetings that closed during the pandemic, and they have not reopened to the same number. And also, the related to that is concerns about who we're not attracting, I think, people who used to come, and we're not attracting the newcomer. That doesn't mean no newcomers come and no people who used to come, but it means that our meetings are small, and I think that our inner group is struggling with that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I want to have a hear to that, because my question comment is very similar. Can you see me?
Yeah.
Can you come stand up here? Is that okay? Here.
Could you come and speak?
Oh, sure. She's okay. Jenna, she's all right. She's all right. Okay. Sorry. That's all right.
So we have, I'm Chrysalis, the compulsive overeater.
Hi, Chrysalis.
I'm Angeles Washington. And I've been doing this for a long time, too. And we have the same issues. And my frustration, we've got the great Zoom thing. We've got four or five solid people who rotate around. But many of our regulars, listen, we have a big area. But we have a city 15 miles away, and they used to all come. And they carpool. It was a blast. And now it's just easier to use Zoom. I'm finding that the most frustrating. I don't feel connected to them. I make lots of calls. I stay as connected as possible. But I love this idea of one face-to-face a month, but I just don't think people will come. I just don't know. So we have some of the same things. We have one or two new people. So that's my worry, too. It's like we do stuff. We do the outreach. We put the posters up. We put it in the paper. But, yeah.
Could I just speak to, I don't think people will come. Could I just respond to that? Would that be all right if I sort of respond to that? Right? No, if we do this, if we put all this work into it, nobody will come. We won't know. We won't know unless we do it. We have our hybrid meeting. Sometimes we have two people in person and 15, 20 people on this. I've been the only person in the meeting before. I'm sure Sharon has been the only person because we're doing tech at the church. Jana, you may have also had that experience as well. But let's be clear. Sometime one of us is there and a newcomer comes. And that's all that matters. I mean, that really is. That's why we're there. So if I'm the only person at the church, they're the only people at the church, and it's, you know, we show up. And here's what I will say from my experience. I can accept that that's the case, that maybe people won't come, and then maybe there's a group conscience. We have a group meeting. We have a lot of business meetings, you know, like do we revisit it? But if we've decided we're going to have this hybrid meeting for 6 months, we're going to have it for 6 months. We're going to see if people show up, and then we revisit it in 6 months, not in 2 weeks, not in a month, because no, people aren't showing up in 6 months, because we have to give people time. But we also, if we're going to be in person, that's got to get on our intergroup and on our GSI webpage. It's got to get word of mouth out, because people won't show up right away because they won't hear about it. So I want it now. I want it immediately. And it does not happen that way. That is my experience. That is how I experience it. So,
Okay, so I see that person. I think this person. Yeah. Who has it?
You right here.
What,
yeah.
Not yet.
Hi, everyone. My name's Barbara, recovering compulsive overeater, and I live in southern Oregon, and we're a pretty small area. Grants Pass in particular, we had three meetings, and maybe four people came or five. This is before pandemic, maybe eight was a large meeting. And I actually left program, you know, I left program shortly before the pandemic or right around then. But they kept meeting, and I'm very involved now, and Medford's pretty close, and we... So they had a big in-person meeting that went to Zoom, and so there was a lot of people. So I started attending that because I wasn't comfortable in person. I'm trying to keep it short. My point was is that then they decided this was on a Saturday at 10, and then a number of them wanted to go back to the in-person. And then there was people that weren't comfortable with that. They wanted to keep with the Zoom. So now we have, and at the same time, Saturday, 10 a.m., and I live, you know, 40 minutes from the in-person meeting, which I'd love to go to, but I got real connected with the Zoom. But now there's only like five people on the Zoom. And the other one is flourishing. There's a few other in-person meetings. Our Grants Pass meeting, there's a gal that shows up for these meetings, and sometimes she's the only one. And she just reads in case, you know, she stays there. And so I know our intergroup's looking at how we can bring more to it. But... And just a quick note on the Zoom thing is that I do go to a number of Zoom, like New York and Chicago, all over. And I have noticed that the Zoom bombers have reduced. And so it seems to be better. And a lot of people have somebody that just monitors that. Okay, too long.
No. We were trying to go in order.
That's a tough one. I know a lot of people would like to share any ideas on how we might moderate the sharing. Anybody have a real brilliant idea?
Line up.
Beautiful. Come on up. Just line up, and then we'll just, I think that. I just want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to feel heard. And Rob, I see you back there. We'll make sure we get you in, okay? Come on up and share.
I see someone who... You don't want to line up? You want to
no,
say something?
No, I just want to make sure that everybody who's speaking speaks in the microphone.
That's what we're asking.
Getting recorded.
Yes.
Speaking from the seat doesn't help.
That's all. So, next person, please.
Come on up to the mic. If you'd like to share something.
Excuse me, Erin. Sharon, do you want me to time share us at all? Are we 2 minutes, 3 minutes?
Let's say 2 minutes, and I really encourage folks to either bring a challenge or a solution up to the mic, if that's, you know, or question, so that we can then talk about that. And then we'll maybe talk about the challenge or the solution for a couple of minutes. So is it going to be imperfect, you guys? It's going to be imperfect, right? Okay.
Hi, I'm Yvonne from Bitterroot Intergroup in Kalispell, Montana. And yeah, I do have a challenge. As incoming chair, what I hear and what I see at the group level and at the intergroup level is burnout. And, you know, from COVID, a lot of people stepping up, keeping the meeting going, but burnout. And then... lack of people. And so how do we get some energy in? I mean, I'm only one person and I can inject a little bit of energy, but I'm not like nonstop energy. And so what at region can we brainstorm, or as intergroups can we brainstorm together to think about bringing energy into our rejuvenation, if you will? And I think a part of that is getting more people in, new blood. So that's my challenge.
If it's okay, I have a thought about this because someone mentioned, it might even been Tana, I can't remember at the keynote, something that's been on my mind about getting people back to meetings, whether it's online or in person, is I'm fairly certain that we all have notebooks from our meetings, the We Care books with phone numbers and names in it, right? I was at our Tuesday meeting the other night, and we have a pile, a stack of those notebooks. And I just thought, you know, next time I go to the, we have a business meeting, I'm going to say, hey, who's willing to take this page and call these people that we haven't seen? Who's going to take this page? And just to call them and say, like, hey, we're back in person. We're back in person. We'd love to have you back at the meeting. It takes 2 minutes. Maybe they're not interested. Maybe they've been waiting for that call. Maybe they didn't even know it. But I think that is really on my mind when we're talking about getting people back at meetings. Where are people that I haven't seen? And those notebooks where we keep, and I don't know, you know, do we know where they are? Find them and make start making those calls. That's on my mind right now, that I think it's, and if that's not my idea, it's just a really lovely idea. So that's a thought about getting people back to meetings. Let them know, hey, we're still here and we miss you.
That's great. My name is Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater. My community, deaf community, we meet online because a lot of us live in the east, south, north, west. And the key of the program is fellowship. So during the hour when you share the solution of hope, then we do curbside 15 minutes after the meeting, just talking about life, getting to know each other, find a sponsor, find a sponsee, trade phone numbers, and we keep doing it every meeting, and somehow we have that new normal of connection. I mean, there are some who are disabled, not just deaf, but wheelchair, remote, that kind of thing. So connection is the key. Yeah. That's curbside. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Marissa, compulsive reader. Hi. I haven't, like, spoken in person. I usually do Zoom, so kind of nervous. So I think when looking at the in-person meetings, in Tacoma, there's, like, only two, and they're during work hours, so I can't get to them. So it would be nice to have, like, more meetings, you know, 7 o'clock or later. And then as well, when I went with my sponsor to a weekend meeting, when we got there, it turns out the meeting was virtual, so the information wasn't updated. But I think it would be good if there was, like, a contact added so we could at least, you know, call them ahead of time to see, and then maybe if there's, like, a WhatsApp app for the area that you're in, so that way you can stay connected, and we can say in the chat, like, hey, there's this meeting coming up and in this area or this county, I think would be helpful. So thank you.
So I have a question, related to that. Who could start a 7 o'clock meeting on, you know, not like asking you, but like who starts a 7 o'clock meeting in your town?
7 p.m.
Who starts it? Who opens up a new meeting?
An individual can start.
Oh. An individual can start a new meeting, right? So it, a lot of what we're talking about this weekend is about who's gonna make a retreat happen? Who's gonna do convention? Why can't, and I love that question because it's such a good question. Like, it would be great if there was a 7 p.m. meeting. We are not governed. We are individuals and we can start a new meeting. I'm not saying it's easy, but like no one is going to do it but us, right? No one's going to do it but us.
Well, I'm just echoing what I heard somebody saying about the buddy system. And I'm just thinking that there may be numbers of things. Now, it's one thing if you've got a small group and everybody's already doing a lot of different service, but maybe there's a way that an individual who's doing one kind of service and is getting on the burned out edge could invite someone else to be part of and do it with them. And I'm just wondering whether maybe we need that more. So two people might think, oh, you know, having a 7 o'clock p.m. meeting would be so great. You know, who could we talk to? Can we do it together? You know, maybe it's going to take 3 or 4 of us. I don't know. But it isn't all on one person, because that's going to... The act of doing this service, it's fellowship. And doing it together is more fellowship.
Hey, can we go to Raj real quick, and then we'll go to Brenda. Raj?
Well, thanks. Hi, Raj. I'm also a reader.
Hi, Raj.
I was just thinking of a couple of things. Like I go to OA, I go to some other fellowships, and there's no... for example, in AA, the meetings haven't really reduced, and they're still going strong in Vancouver, BC. And I'm wondering what, you know, in OA specifically, why the meetings haven't returned to the pre-COVID structure where we had lots of in-person meetings. And I was also thinking about, you know, like technology as something that could help, because I know when I go to the doctor's office, they send me text messages for pending appointments. For dentists, either a week or a day before. And there's also like a sign up alert system through email. And that's helped as well. And I'm thinking if technology is the new normal, maybe if people self identify or self opt in because it's attraction, not promotion, that could be a precursor to helping them remind about the meetings, and it might help increase attendance.
Well, I think that speaks to what Marissa was saying, right? So meetings can set up a WhatsApp. You can set up a text thread with, like, meetings are independent, right? So you can decide how you want your meeting to communicate. No one is going to tell you how to do that. So if, you know, Marissa's meeting decides that, you know, they want to communicate that way, you know, then you go to your business meeting and you have that conversation. But we do not govern, right? We are individual meetings, but it takes a little effort. I know it takes it and a lot of effort sometimes.
Regarding those text threads, you have to be careful how setting those up, because they've been a problem for us.
Of course.
You set it up, you add someone, it's a newcomer, they've come once, and then they don't want to be on that text.
Of course, yeah.
So you can't take them off. It can be a lot of maintenance.
Understood. Like, they're, it's complex, right? But
yeah, because somebody then uses that old text thread, and then they...
Certainly, yeah, certainly.
My name is Brenda Ann, and I'm the key holder for the Saturday meeting in the University District in Seattle. And what I am kind of questioning is, I got a lot of help on Zoom during the pandemic. That's where I finally, after 30 years, found my abstinence. But then I really felt like I needed to be in person, that I needed to give back to my community that had seen me faltering and slipping and sliding for 30 years. And now we're back in person, and I'm not trying to whine, but there's something about that energy, like there's a vibe here in this room, that when there's a lot of technology, I need skin. I mean, I need to see your faces. I need to know I'm connected to you, and it isn't enough for me to just see your face. That and so I really want the in-person meetings, and I prefer parallel, but our meeting is going with moving in a direction of a low tech. I don't know exactly how that works, but you use your phones, and we have a speaker, and so as someone else mentioned. So I'm wondering, I guess I'm putting it to the group, how do you reconcile that perhaps loss of vibrancy when you're doing a hybrid? Because there's definitely, you know, there's more of a closure when you're in person. And that's my own personal opinion, of course, not the opinion of my group. So I'm struggling to wrap my head around accepting what I'm not the most comfortable with, but wanting what's the best for the group. So I'm just putting that out. How do you maintain that sense of vibrancy, even if it's a small meeting? You're in person, thank God, after the pandemic. How do you keep that intimacy when there's so much technology to be involved doing a hybrid?
That's a great question.
Sorry. Hi, everyone. I'm Tim C. I'm from Vancouver, B.C., and a compulsive overeater. Yeah, I've been thinking similarly to, sorry, it was Brenda, the last speaker, in terms of my experience has been that my meeting went on Zoom during the beginning of the pandemic and has lost their space. We are now only virtual. And my the other interesting thing that's happened is that pretty much during Zoom, the people that have come into our meeting, I've left the Lower Mainland, and I'm about 70 miles away from there, so it's like a two-hour drive to get to the meeting, so I won't be doing that. And most of the people that are in Zoom, we've got newcomers that are from Canada, but they're not anywhere near the Lower Mainland. We've got people from Victoria doing service. We've got, so if we ever decided to go back into in-person meetings, nobody would be there who was from the original meeting. So that's one challenge, I think. The other challenge that I am really thinking a lot about is that idea of how do we go and get the same feeling from an in-person meeting when you're completely on Zoom. Because I don't know about you, but I have felt at times a little despondency about I feel like I'm not getting the emotional connection that I would like to through Zoom. And I've been thinking about it a little bit, and I tell you, I don't have really a lot of good answers. But, you know, one of the things that I'm kind of called to think about is I think that there needs to be an increased thinking about ritual during meetings, right? In that there are things that we do together that bring a sense, that sense of community together. Like, for example, one thing that I was thinking of is, for those of you who have ever done a candlelight meeting, if in a virtual setting, we all just decide if we're coming into this meeting, we're lighting a candle and we're going to go on Zoom with a candle, you know? Or, like, what are ways that we can actually reach out to each other and be a part of each other's community and life, because I think that's just as important. I mean, it's great to hear all the nuts and bolts and, you know, keep on striving and do your steps and all that stuff, but there's a personal connection and a spiritual connection that we have with each other that we have to be able to maintain in the virtual space.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks.
My name's Brenda, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm super new, but I have a thought, and that is that most organizations are losing younger people, and across the communities, churches, the Rotary, everybody is struggling because young people aren't joiners. And so we have communities that it's hard to reach out to the young people because we don't have the connections and they're not inclined as much to join. So my thought is that perhaps we reach out to a young person who may or may not be in a 12-step program and just say to them, like, how are you guys connecting between yourselves? And access some of those technologies. WhatsApp is one I know that a lot of people are using to connect, but sort of utilize someone who lives in the world in a different way than we do to try to reach out and build membership and participation. And it may look in person, it may not look like it's in person, but meeting and reaching out to people who live, communicate, and operate in the world in a different manner than many of us do. So,
thank you very much. Go ahead.
This is great. This is really great. We're helping each other so much. And one of the things that I noticed, you know, Zoom is so easy to go to, and it's really easy to multitask. So you kind of turn your video off and you multitask, and that really takes me away from the meeting. There's something I've really been trying to turn the video on and keep the video on and be present in the room and present with what people are saying. Because you know what? The disease, part of this disease is isolating, hiding. And so, You know, I have a choice on Mondays to go to Zoom or to go to in person. And, you know, there's a part of me, you know, a couple people have shown up at the in-person meeting. Why are we doing this? But last week, 7 people came in person. Right? And I'll tell you, it was a different experience. I got chills just from what people shared, and we looked at each other when we were sharing. Some of us weren't looking at the monitor. We were looking at each other. We held hands at the end and we hugged. There's something really special about that. But when I have to be on Zoom because of whatever, I'm making a commitment to be present to the meeting, not multitask, and really show my video and really be present. That's what I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you. I also wanted to respond to, I go to some meetings out of state online, and Tim had I really appreciated that, Tim. I don't know where you, oh, there you are. Hi, Annie. We have a meeting that at the end of the meeting, the official time of the meeting, we say if anybody would be willing to keep the meeting open for 15 minutes and close the meeting out, then let's hang out and have fellowship, because that is one of the things on Zoom. We don't have that pre-meeting, maybe, I'm generalizing, right? But that pre-meeting and post-meeting fellowship that we have in person is very difficult on Zoom, right? Because there's, you know, people are getting set up, they're getting their readings, right? But the meetings I do go to that people hop on, I'm going to suggest this, I know nobody probably wants to do it, hopping on 10 minutes early, right? Instead of 1 minute early, and everybody's just populating Zoom, right? You get on 10 minutes early, maybe nobody else does, but you do. So in case somebody does hop on early, you're there. Like, I think I sound like a broken record, but like, I have to do it. I have to show up. Nobody else is going to do it for me, right? And that what I bring to a meeting, I might not want to go early and be the only one there, and then, oh, that person hops on the meeting that I don't really like, and then it's just us and them on the meeting, and then I've got to ask how they're doing, and then, oh, wait, what? Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's amazing. And then I hear something that I need to hear. These are uncomfortable situations, right? And it's not the same as it was. It's just not the same in my experience. I saw Brenda, Jocelyn, and I'm sorry, Sharon. And if you can come up, that would be great. Are we out of time?
How much time do
we
have left? 10 minutes?
I just wanted to say real quickly, there is a meeting that somebody, it's an amazing meeting called Better Together, which happens every night, Pacific Standard Time at 6 p.m., and they have an amazing pre-fellowship event where everybody just yells, hello, how you doing, you're great, you look fantastic, and then they have a two-hour meeting that goes on after. They call it the parking lot, I believe that's what it's called, or the afterglow, thank you. And that was where I found my sponsor, or the lead that got me to my sponsor was that kind of meeting. So I haven't been going to those recently, and I guess I could go back to those, but I still like to say I really do miss the in-person connection.
Thank you, Brenna.
Hi, Jocelyn, compulsive overeater. Mine is kind of a wild hair idea, but it popped in my mind, so I thought I'd just share it. And it would require, like, maybe a change in format, but maybe considering using breakout sessions as a way for creating some better connection. I know some of our meetings do different formats, like meditation, so I was just thinking, like, maybe we create space for that where you, you know, assign breakout rooms and smaller clusters of people so that you give a chance for some different types of connections. That was just an idea I had, so I thought I'd share it.
Thank you,
Jocelyn.
That was my idea.
I'm Sharon. I'm a compulsive eater from Portland, Oregon. I got abstinent on Zoom, so this is my first live anything with OA. So it's been really cool to give hugs, and like I'm a member of the beverage program, so I know what that's like, but you know, you do what you do, and I'm so grateful for Zoom. because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Zoom. I mean, who knows where I'd be. But to speak to a couple of people talked about a WhatsApp portion to a meeting. I went for a long time to a meeting in Britain that was amazing, and they had a WhatsApp thing that they ran all week long, and they had someone who did recorded readings of the daily reflections from For Today and also Voices of Recovery. You could post things that were not from OA approved literature. Certainly you didn't get into, you know, religion, politics, and the, you know, the big ones, but you could post from other 12-step programs, and it was just a way to connect throughout the week with other people, and there was people from all over the world at that meeting, and so it was kind of cool. So that's a way to kind of build a community, and then those who lived close to each other could, if they wanted to, you know, meet up, which I think is great. And so I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm from Portland, so my fellow Portlanders, if there are any here, like, come see me after this, because I love my Seattle peeps. But, you know, there's something about getting a hug. That's all I can say.
And, you know, the other thing about WhatsApp, too, is you can opt in or out. If you get on a thread, if you don't have, like, it's not the same as texting where you're on a thread and then you have to, like, stay on it. It's a different technology. It's an app, but, like, it's not a complicated one, and we can probably all get people to help us with that, right? Technology is here to stay, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it's not going away. And if I can fight it, which I want to sometimes, and that doesn't help my recovery. Like, if you want to ask me, how's that working for you, fighting that, Erin? It's not working well. It's not. So there are a lot of ways that we can recover, and when we're talking about meetings, we might be talking about Zoom meetings, we might be talking about in-person meetings, we might be talking about meetings for young people, right? I asked Sharon, I'm like, am I being too harsh? It's not me saying to you, do this. It's like, this is us, right? And it takes work. This program is simple. It is not easy. And it is a complicated time right now. But for people who need Zoom, and Zoom is their only access, thank God for Zoom. Thank God for Zoom. It makes me nuts. I'm super grateful for it. Right? And for people who can get to in-person meetings and have the energy to maybe start a new meeting, it is on us to do that. There's a hand back there. Yeah.
On WhatsApp, one of the nice things is the administrator can take someone off of it.
Sure.
If someone's, like, not, you know, participating or not, you know, if they're bombing it, you know, whatever. That is an advantage to it not going
I wanted to say, too, that Sharon has been writing down these questions. I have it in my mind that maybe we follow. I don't know yet. I don't know yet exactly. I don't really know what that might look like. What do you think?
It's 10:20 now, gals.
Yeah. Okay, we'll wrap up with this. So I got some of the questions, but we're recording this.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That's right.
Okay. So I think this was an amazing discussion and dialogue and sharing of ideas and challenges and brainstorms and wonderful things. I'm getting chills right now. So it was very uplifting and encouraging, and just keep it going, and we'll talk more somewhere.
Yes. Yeah, Kelly.
Yeah. Do you remember back in the old days? Back in the old days, people cannot talk on the telephone. New York, Ohio. The right.
Yeah.